It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Welcome to Bowerly and Bellavia. We are live at the SPCA 2018 Radiothon presented by Geico. And we're helping raise awareness. They've got all these great deals going on for the, I don't want to say for the holidays. That sounds crude. Like, get a dog for the holidays. They got to buy one, get one on kittens. No, they've just got a lot of, they do great things across the community. But of course, giving animals a home, loving home, what it could do for you. We're going to hear all these experts all across the SPCA. And also a big truck just came in with a bunch of dogs. So that's going to be lovable and cute. We'll put those pictures up on Facebook. We've got a breaking news story happening right now in the city of Buffalo, where several downtown buildings have been threatened by an email bomb. Paul Cambria was one of the victims of this. His law firm received an email bomb threat demanding payment in Bitcoin. This doesn't exactly sound like the work of an evil madman. You know, but in the age that we live in, every threat is taken seriously, and law enforcement's out there. They're searching his building, and he says that nothing has come up yet, thank God. And we also have the reports, according to right now on WBN.com. We're covering this story. We're at Brendan Keeney setting up live. But it looks like the Ellicott Square building, the Catholic Health building, and another location on Delaware Avenue. The buildings were being searched. The Buffalo Police Department's intelligence unit and the Joint Terrorism Task Force are also investigating. This is not, it doesn't matter if a 12-year-old kid does this or a 7-year-old man. This is taken very seriously. You make a threat, one building, one person, you're going to have the federal government, the state, the local law enforcement, everyone is going to track you down. And the idea that somehow, you know, the Bitcoin transfer is a genius plan. Unfortunately, well, I should say fortunately, law enforcement is up on it. They're up on the game, and these types of threats are really, they're mindless, especially when they're, you know, this isn't politically motivated. You're trying to extort money. It's a waste of everyone's time and resources. And when we eventually find whoever did this, you're going to see that sentence is going to, it's going to be a little higher than Simonelli's, we hope. But anyway, the Buffalo Police Department is on it. The Joint Terrorism Task Force is on it. We've heard from Paul Cambria himself, who gave us a statement that said his office was also involved in this. And there have been additional threats outside of the city of Buffalo. Niagara County Sheriff's Office is investigating a bomb threat at Niagara University. We have no idea if they're connected. We don't know if any of these are connected. We're just only have heard from Paul Cambria, who said that he got an email and they were demanding money in Bitcoin. But it turns out so far that, thankfully, they have not found anything yet. But campus security officials at NCCC are also investigating a threat there. So we've got, it's in Niagara County with Niagara University and NCCC, Niagara County Community College. They are investigating threats. We have no idea if they're connected, if this is the similar Paul Cambria email, you know, extortion in Bitcoin. But now we have confirmed Ellicott Square building, the Catholic Health building, a building on Delaware, and, of course, two locations now in Niagara County. We're going to keep this locked in all the way and give you updates as they seem relevant. And then we're also going to concentrate on what we're here for, the SPCA 2018 Radiothon presented by Geico. If you want to be an angel for the animals during the Radiothon, all you have to do is call 873-SPCA. That's 873-SPCA, 873-7722, 7722. And to pledge your support, you can call the Comtel donor line, which is 873-7722. And everyone who becomes an angel for the animals, you get a special gift from Mighty Taco. That's what you get for being a friend to the animals, an angel to the animals. Do you get it? And the 3 o'clock hour is brought to you by Courier Capital of the SPCA 2018 Radiothon presented by Geico. There it is. And we're going to have a ton of people from the SPCA coming up. First and foremost, we're going to have the SPCA of Erie County Director of Wildlife, Barbara Haney. And she's going to be talking about the Wildlife Center, animals being rehabbed and released through the facility here. They've got three beaver. Someone, because animals get injured all the time. Now, where I'm from, the beaver is as hated as the deer. The beaver caused havoc. But we're going to speak about rehabilitating beaver and putting them somewhere where they won't wreak havoc. Because it's all about the animals today as we're live at the SPCA Radio-a-thon presented by GEICO. It's Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN. We're also keeping our eye on what's going on in downtown Buffalo. There was an email that went to, it appears, Paul Cambria is the law firm that received one of the emails. We assume these are all connected in Buffalo. The Catholic Health Building is one of them. And we don't have a complete list, but we know that there's at least three in the city of Buffalo. And now we have another report of Niagara University receiving a threat and NCCC receiving a threat. But so far, you've got the federal government, the state, county, everyone together. Unfortunately, in the United States, we are well-funded and well-rehearsed for these types of threats. And so it's no longer the panic of, we have to get experts in. We have experts right here in Erie County at the Sheriff's Department. These bomb guys are elite bomb disposal men and women. And not only have they had the world-class training from the federal government and the state, but these guys, most of them, have been downrange in the military and taken out IEDs in Afghanistan and Iraq. So, you know, not to say we hope this whole thing is a hoax and there's no real there, that there's no bombs that they find, but we are well rehearsed to take care of this. And law enforcement, they're going to use an abundance of precaution, of course. At the same time, so far in Paul Cambria's office, they found absolutely nothing. And we're awaiting word from our Niagara County, Niagara University, NCCC, and some of the other buildings in downtown Buffalo. But as of right now, it appears it was an email that Paul Cambria got, and it was demanding Bitcoin. So, and the Catholic Health Building is on Genesee Street, and I believe the Ellicott Building is the other building in question, and there's a location on Delaware Avenue. Joining me now at the SPCA 2018 Radio-a-thon presented by GEICO is WBN's own Tim Wenger. Tim, what update do you have on what's going on in downtown Buffalo? This kind of just happened out of nowhere. It seems like an email bomb threat. This is not something that I think we're accustomed to.
Yeah, I mean, this is bizarre. I mean, you know, they're all over the place. I mean, you've already talked about it, but I mean, Niagara County came in. I think that was the first. Now we did get, as you've already announced, the all clear at the Ellicott Square building. I'm in touch with Paul Cambry again, and we're going to try to get him on here shortly to give us an update on what happened in his building. It's right down at Eagle and, you know, right down in the court district in the downtown Buffalo. But really is bizarre, but it's affecting a lot of people. We just put a picture on Twitter. You know, cops are blocking off intersections and everything. It's just, I don't think anybody's in any kind of mass danger right now.
Right.
Because
right.
They've evacuated the buildings and they've shut some streets down and intersections down. But it's definitely, when you see all that, it impacts, you know, in the middle of a busy workday. So, I mean, I think a lot of people are impacted by it in just a disruptive form.
And it just seems so, you know, there's really, there's no connection on its surface between any of these locations. Paul Cambria.
Just let me interrupt. All clear now at every one of the buildings affected. So that's good news.
That's good news.
Okay, so that's kind of like the stand down right now. It's a whole bunch of.
But there's really no connection to the Catholic Health Building and Niagara University. Whatever you could try to assume that someone just can mass email a threat. And, you know, what a stupid, stupid crime. This is whoever, when this guy gets caught, guy or girl,
right.
They're looking at a lot of serious time.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. I mean, you know, I remember way back, maybe it was the early 90s, late 80s, there were a series of package bomb threats around here that, you know, they escalated to the next level where there were actual packages arriving at like strategic places all over the place. None of them detonated,
right.
But it was the same thing. It just kind of, it makes everybody uneasy. You know, this time of year, everybody's on edge this time of year.
When we get a result like this, though, it does give me a tremendous amount of confidence in the men and women who are out there. You know, I mean, because in the old days, you know, post 9/11, everyone thought that we were going to be next. Niagara Falls, right. Maybe it's New York City, some idiot. And then the Lackawanna 6 thing happened, and people started to think, well, are we really prepared for... And then the plane crash hit. And I think that response with the plane crash was something that, you know, should make this entire region proud.
Yeah, you know, I think everybody... you know, should be thankful for the law enforcement that's in place in this town, because I mean they move, and they move quick, and
yeah.
they'll have something to say, I would think. Brendan is downtown, and if and when the Buffalo Police Department has anything to say about it, or Erie County Sheriff's, they would be involved in this as well.
But Bitcoin, we'll have it for you, Bitcoin's so 2013. You know, like what is it doesn't seem very sophisticated. I mean, it as if like Bitcoin is the gold of 1875, that it's untraceable, and you know, Bitcoin is. And by the way, Bitcoin's not worth nearly what it was worth in the old days, even 2 years ago.
Yeah, and this is not just here. This is happening elsewhere around the country right now. So I mean, this is I'm going to have to read a little bit more.
It could
about
literally
this,
but, take one person. I mean, how many times has your mother, father sent an email that is CC'd to 1,000 people? I just read a story about someone sent a potluck dinner at a state agency, and it went out to 25,000 people. It was a potluck dinner holiday thing. They sent it out to 25,000 people by accident. And of course, everyone that's replying to it is replying to 25,000 people. But think of the situation that happened in Hawaii. Someone accidentally hit an alert. It went out there. Someone could easily send a threat to 100,000 buildings right. in the United States.
Let me get to a couple of interesting details from around the country here in a second. If you are in downtown Buffalo, though, and you were in any of these buildings, you were evacuated or told to leave a building, and you're affected by whatever it may be, traffic or evacuations, by all means, give us a call at 803-0930, star 930, and also text us at 30930, and we'll get you on, and you can tell us what you were told at the time all of this went down. But I'm looking at a story right now. This is all over. University of Washington out west was dealing with problems just before 11 o'clock Pacific time. Cedar Rapids police were dealing with this.
Is this the same time frame as us?
Yeah, NYPD wow. currently monitoring multiple bomb threats that have been sent electronically to various locations throughout New York City. So New York Daily News is reporting it now as well. So, I mean, this is not, and it's all Bitcoin related. Same thing. And here we are in little old Buffalo, and we've got the same.
Well, listen, I mean, when those viruses were hitting that were, taking ransomware viruses, Buffalo got hit with that as well. That went across the nation, and a couple local institutions actually downloaded that virus. And, they had their data's held ransom. You can't get access to your emails or anything else for money. That was an international scheme that hit Western New York, and it appears this thing is a national one, and it reached our backyard. In case you missed it, someone sent a series of email bomb threats to prominent buildings and people in Western New York. Well, it appears the city of Buffalo, there's at least four that we know of, and one in Niagara University and one at NCCC in Niagara County. And that's just of what we know of. I'm sure the details will come in. We'll find out a whole list. But as of now, every one of those buildings in this listening audience that we know of has been cleared, and there's no explosive devices at all. And the email was requesting Bitcoin in exchange to not blow up.
Yeah, and our sister station down in New York City, WCBS, just sent out notifications saying that multiple, what I just indicated about New York, multiple threats have been made against schools and businesses across the entire nation, and WCBS following, obviously, the aspects of how it's affecting New York City. But all clear given to all of the buildings in downtown Buffalo right now. There's no impact or, no safety concerns, I should say. There certainly is impact when you're taken out of your building or intersections
sure.
are closed down.
Well, I'm sure. The updates that we got on the text board, 30930, they were all related to traffic. They assumed that there was something going on at the courthouse, something was going on in that vicinity that was either traffic related or something else, but it appeared to just happen all at once. Tim Wenger points out that the University of Washington got reports all across the country. New York City has had similar threats. So this appears to be... And how easy with today's an email, you could send it to anyone. But one of the positives here is that this isn't a day later, 3 days later, when we get the all clear sign. were unfortunately so well rehearsed in this that we're able to sweep buildings quickly and find out, you know, what's real and what isn't and get our lives back together.
Yeah, and Brendan, I'm going back and forth with him. He's getting situated in downtown, so we should be able to get him on the line shortly. But I guess, the good news is all clear at the buildings, in the buildings. I'm assuming that most, since that all clear has been given, people have been given access back to their buildings so they can complete their work day or whatever it may be. Up at Niagara University, I know they dismissed students, canceled classes, would probably be a better way to phrase it, at a university. But looks like
when you hear about universities and high schools threatened, you always assume that it's a disgruntled student or it's someone, we're just so conditioned to these types of stories that it almost seems like, in the world we live in, someone can send a text, someone can make a threat on Facebook, and law enforcement is going to take that seriously. But when this person is found internationally, nationally, whoever this person is, this is going to be this is going to be some prison time.
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, you're messing with people's lives here, and it's messed up. That's
really
for sure.
Is. Well, we're going to get back to the SPCA Radiothon. We'll obviously give you updates as they come in, dealing with what appears to be a nationwide situation where someone is emailing bomb threats to either prominent people or what they consider to be landmark buildings in a city. Niagara University got hit, Washington University, NCCC.
Yeah, let's go to downtown Buffalo right now, and WBEN's Brendan Keeney is down there right now. And Brendan, it's our understanding that, we've been given the all clear inside those buildings, but tell us where you are and what you're seeing.
Well, there's really not much going on right now. I'm at the corner of West Eagle and Delaware. This was a pretty busy intersection earlier, and by busy, I mean there were a ton of squad cars, and the K-9 units were obviously brought in to scope everything out. But this was outside of Lipsitz Green and Cambria, the law offices, which received one of the bomb threats. But everyone seemed in pretty good spirits, and by everyone, I mean just the law enforcement that was around me. They were talking about the dogs and how they did a great job and how there's really nothing to worry about. The traffic on both going both ways was blocked, but everything's actually back to normal. Traffic's fine, and there aren't any cars here anymore.
Okay, well, that's good news. Everybody's been put back into their or allowed back into their building then?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I haven't seen anyone go into the building yet. But yes, obviously they were all evacuated, but I haven't seen anyone go in to this point. But I don't know why there would be a reason they couldn't, considering everything has been opened up.
Okay, Brendan, any police presence down there right now?
None where I am. There's actually none at all. This was, as I said, it was pretty busy about 5 to 10 minutes ago, but everyone has left, and it looks like it's not that big of a problem.
It's about as normal as it can get.
All right, well, that's good. That's good news. Brendan, thank you so much. If you'll kind of hang out down there for the moment in case Buffalo police have something to say about this whole thing. This is a nationwide situation. There have been threats all across the country. We know in New York City. We know out in Seattle, University of Washington. And Cedar Rapids, I saw some coverage there as well. So I'm assuming if it's in Buffalo, it's in Cedar Rapids. It's got to be just about everywhere, right?
It's everywhere, yeah. Cedar Rapids and Buffalo. Not often used in the same sentence.
No, but we got a radiothon going on.
We are live at a radiothon.
We're all safe and sound here.
The SPCA 2018 Radiothon, sponsored by Geico. We'll have radiothon people here. We're asking you to give them a call at the Comtel donor line, 873-SPCA, 873-7722. And we'll be talking to SPCA people all day about what they do, the important work that they do, and we'll even meet some of the animals.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Welcome back to Bowerly and Bellavia. And we are at the SPCA 2018 Radiothon, sponsored by, or presented by Geico. And we are joined by the SPCA's Chief Communications Officer. You know her as Gina. We know her as Gina Browning. She is at, how long have you been at the SPCA?
28 and a half years.
And this building, we say it since it was built, one of the most impressive things, and because of the time that I got here today, I got to check out the barn out there.
Do you believe it?
That's
yeah.
really neat. So
it's
you,
nice.
You not only have horses, but you have any animal that comes into distress within your...
talked to Sandy earlier about Bubbles the Pig out there. We've got, actually, we've got exotic enrichment going on right now. We've got a turtle walking around and some hamsters and an iguana and snakes and you name it. We usually have anything up for adoption.
But right now, you can not only become an angel for the animals by calling the, what is this now, the Comtel donor line, 873-7722, and everyone who becomes an angel for the animals gets a little gift from Mighty Taco.
That's right. They get some the Mighty Taco bucks.
And what is, how are we doing so far this year? How are we doing?
You know, we're doing great. I think that people, because we led up to this event with 12 days of SPCA, we were able to tell several stories that we normally wouldn't have had time to tell. And I think people hear that different things are going on in the community, but they didn't know it was us. So because we were able to tell these stories about, for instance, our Paws for Love therapy dogs visiting the Family Justice Center to help victims of domestic violence cope with the unthinkable that they're faced with. They hear about our dogs at the airport, funeral parlors. They hear about animal cruelty investigations. They know that stuff is going on, but they may not necessarily know it's the SPCA providing these services.
No, you're not a clinical psychiatrist, and I'm not a clinician, but you've seen animals change people's lives, people going through depression, people going through loss, people going through trauma. I don't think you need a PhD or to write a white paper to realize that, you know, since Grandpa died, that dog has been really good for Grandma. I mean, you could see it.
I am so blessed with the opportunity to see that happen several times a day. And I mean, personally, I can speak personally from that. My animals have changed my life. And I think that we'd be hard for us to find any pet owner who wouldn't admit to that to some extent.
Right.
That an animal really changes your life. And fortunately, the people of our community believe they change their lives for the better.
Yeah, and it's an important thing. Now, the money that's coming in today, Angels for the Animals, this goes to the day-to-day operation here. You talk about turtles and snakes and hamsters. You have to feed turtles, snakes, and hamsters. They don't all eat the same thing. And 9 times out of 10, the reason why they're in your life is because they're sick or they're wounded or everything else.
Oh, yeah. And we're also spaying and neutering every animal that goes home. Now we're talking about anesthesia, medical costs. We're talking about staffing costs because you have to have veterinarians on board.
How many of those could you do a day?
Oh, my gosh. That varies.
What's the neutering record?
Well, now that would sound irresponsible.
No, but I'm
if
just
I
saying,
said the neuter.
How many could we possibly do in one day?
It depends on how many hours are designated for it. I mean, they usually like to try to dedicate at least maybe an hour to a spay.
Right.
At least that. You know, don't forget, you've got the animal prep, then you have the animal in surgery, now you have the animal recovery. So it's not just as simple as the surgery itself, but it's all of the stages leading up to it and then after it.
And so, and now we also have, we're, last year, we're back to this holiday, I don't want to say deal, it sounds so cheap, you know, because we're not buy one, get one off, you know, Dalmatians, that's not what we're doing here, but my point is that there's a special purpose to come down in person to the SPCA today.
Oh, yeah. It's adoptions are half off, which, you know, I do want to reassure the listeners that it doesn't mean that we, when we have adoption specials or free adoptions, it doesn't mean that we're standing in the parking lot just asking cars to slow down as we throw the dogs
turkey
in. And the
cats drop.
You know, you still have to go through an interview with our adoption counselor. The adoption process is still intact. So we still do everything we can to help make sure it's the right animal put in the right situation. We don't see tremendous numbers of returns after we do these specials. You know, if we did, of course, we would stop them. But when we do specials like this, you know, you can't really predict when that miracle moment's going to happen. But if you watch some of the people, when you're on a break, you got to watch some of the people walking through the cat room in the kennels, because you see their eyes meet that animal's eyes. And there's just something about that moment.
Right.
Where you know that animal's going home in that car and sleeping on a bed tonight.
And it's not only the different stories that these animals have. There's some animals that have lived with, you know, one family forever. Mm-hmm. And an older, you know, loved one passes away. And, you know, who wants that cat? Who wants that dog?
Oh,
and then you bring them into your life and you realize, you know, you're doing something for the animal, the animal's doing something for you.
There are people who, I mean, I'm sure you can relate to this, people who leave for the service, and, you know, it's not that they don't have family or friends, and people right away say, well, I can't believe someone in the family didn't take the pet. How could a friend not take the pet? You know what? Sometimes you just can't do it. Life takes over.
Why is everyone cheering?
Everyone's cheering because another miracle happened and the dog's going home. But,
wow.
You know, sometimes life takes over, and there is no alternative. What do you do?
Is there a cooling off period? Like, do you have to wait a day to get the dog, or can you come down here, get the adoption?
You just slow down in the driveway, and we throw the dog in the... No. The animals, we do our best to make sure every single one is spayed or neutered and ready to go home that day.
Right.
There are times where people say, you know what, I'm in love with this dog. I've got a dog at home, or I have children in school. They will put that dog on hold, or a cat, or any animal, and they do what we call a meet and greet.
Because you want to slowly introduce the new...
Now, granted, we're in a neutral facility here, so no dog really has ownership of this building, so they don't really try to protect it the way a home dog might try to protect a home once you're in the home.
But you also say no to adoptions.
We do.
I mean, if someone...
You know, we do what we can to get to yes, but there are people, for instance, who come in and say, you know, our family wants a puppy. And as they speak with our counselors, you realize, well, that animal would be alone 10 to 12 hours a day. Here's what will probably happen. Your puppy is doing things that are cute at 8 weeks. In 8 months, it won't be so cute.
Right.
And now the animal's not trained.
Well, I'm thinking about, like, the cat sweater lady, you know, the hoarders. They come in here, want to get, can I get a six-pack?
Yeah, you know? That's a different situation. Yeah,
right.
We handle those. Those are unique. Fortunately, few and far between.
Thank God. Thank God.
Yeah.
But as far as our numbers go, we're going to, like, release... How much we've raised and how well we're doing.
You'll be releasing that, actually. I think it's 6 o'clock.
And at 6 o'clock, that's the final. So we have 3 hours to call, just actually under 2.5, to call, the Comtel donor line, 873-SPCA, 873-7722. And every single Angel for the Animals gets a gift from Mighty Taco.
That's right. And for the people who choose to come in here and make a donation, you know, we're doing that promotion with Linus Ullmark, the Buffalo Sabres goaltender.
That's right.
He decided he wants to help more of our dogs find homes. We're calling it Ullmark's Barks. And as part of that program that we started today, people can come in, make a $50 donation or more.
Ullmark's Barks?
And they Ullmark's
Barks. Was
that
Barks. His idea? Or?
It was. Actually, my fiance came up with the name, but it was his idea to come up with helping shelter animals.
Right.
And if they make a $50 donation, they go home with a Buffalo Sabres hockey puck signed by Linus Ullmark.
That is,
so
you know what?
Mark Sparks.
There you go. You get a hockey puck signed by the Sabres goalie. And also, anyone who calls the Comtel donor line,
right.
873-7722, Angel for the Animals, you get a gift from Mighty Taco as well. So everyone's giving back. And there's adoptions going on, and people and young kids, and it's, you know, everyone wants a puppy for Christmas, but some people are actually getting puppies for Christmas.
There, you know what? There's one dog back there, and I said this on the air yesterday. I know that some people might get upset when I say it, because we really do discourage impulse adoptions.
Of course.
Especially around the holidays.
Right.
But we have one dog back there named China Doll, who is the dog you'd want to see with a big red bow under the tree.
Really?
On Christmas morning, because she is one of your plug-in dogs. And, you know, she could lose a little weight, but who couldn't?
Well, exactly.
You know, after the holidays,
I have a sponsor for her. You know, and the other thing is, I just saw like a 3-week-old kitten, and it had a, you know, some sort of, what we would look at as a little kitten, and we would see a lesion on a cat and think that cat is going to die.
That cat looked like it needed batteries, didn't it?
And
it didn't look real.
It came in, the doctors did their thing. It was not even a big deal. It was like a boil basically on its back.
Yeah.
And the cat is totally normal, healthy, happy, beautiful, cute. And the cat's going to have a great life.
And now the cat's going to have a life. You know, and that's why our theme this year is, it's kind of like It's a Wonderful Life. What would this community look like if we didn't exist? And you never know when you'll need us, in most cases, until you need us. And you look at how that little kitten, now that little kitten has already started changing the life of her foster mom.
Wow.
So it's incredible when you see that happen several times a day. I'm very blessed, and I think I speak for my coworkers.
That is the Chief Communications Officer of the SPCA. We are doing the, what is this now? The SPCA 2018 Radiothon, sponsored by GEICO. You can call on the Comtel donor line, 873-7722. Every angel for the animals gets a special gift from Mighty Taco. Gina Browning, thank you for joining us. We are going to talk to Barbara Haney, who is the director of wildlife. Now, you think all we're talking about is cats and dogs. That's it. Now, you heard turtles. You heard snakes. And what's the most, if I asked you the craziest animal that is in this building right now that no one would expect the SPCA to have, what is it?
In this building right now or in the past? Because we've had a monkey, a capuchin monkey.
A monkey?
We had a capuchin monkey whose owner was sadly and unfortunately incarcerated. And that was an individual who did have a family who did not want the monkey.
The owner may have been incarcerated for having the monkey.
His name was Poochie, and he wasn't the nicest monkey. And then we had to send him for a very important surgery, and he was less nice. And he's living his life now at Positively Primates in Texas.
Wow. So wouldn't it be great if both of them ended up in jail? The monkey is in prison and so is the owner. But what kind of monkey is it? Like a rhesus monkey?
Capuchin monkey.
What was that? Smaller?
I don't know if people watch the show Friends. It was the kind of monkey that was in Friends. It's Ross's a very common at Ross's monkey.
The outbreak monkey.
Now this one, I tried to get him to like Barry Manilow songs the way Ross's
monkey did.
It didn't work out.
In a situation like that though, do you have experts that can even deal with a monkey?
Do
you really?
And you know what's nice? Even if we have someone who isn't really well versed in monkeys, we've got enough people here who know the people who are well-versed. So it's because of this fantastic staff, especially with wildlife. They know exactly who to reach out to.
Hey, well, Gina, thank you so much. We're going to get to back to Gina Browning here in a bit. But first, I got an important message from my friends at Keller Chevrolet. Well, thank you very much. We're live at the Radiothon SPCA 2018, sponsored by GEICO. And we're joined by the communications office, the chief communications officer, Gina Browning from the SPCA, and talking about what's happening here today. You can become an angel for the animals. All you have to do is call the Comtel donor line at 873-SPCA, and every person who becomes an angel for the animals, you get a little special little gift for Christmas from Mighty Taco.
How about that?
How about that? There should also be a gift from Malox. Throw that in there. No, they're great. We love Mighty Taco. But anyway, back to you. These animals here, we talked about all the in the past you've had, but there are situations where horses get taken from people because of abusive situations. There's some situations where there's fires.
Situations where 70-plus horses are taken.
That's just very true, is not cheap to do.
And it's something that, you can't predict that. You don't know that that's something that's going to be happening. All of a sudden, you find yourself in a situation. We are called to a home with 150 cats and a couple goats and a pig. And so, you can't predict something like that.
I just met her.
Bubbles the pig.
but there's, so, but like a situation with a pig. Are you looking for a family? That's not going to happen. This is going to go to a farm, or it's going to go to a zoo, or where is it going to go?
We have got families with farms who adopt our farm animals. Oh, yeah.
And so it's a totally different networking system then.
It absolutely is.
So you reach out, and I'm sure you have a good relationship with local farmers because you need each other.
That's right. And there's also a special network out there. I used to foster, when I had a larger office, I used to foster some of the exotic birds in my office. And when I say exotic birds, I mean African grays, cockatoos, the big blue and gold
macaws.
Beautiful birds. And, it's hard when you're fostering. Sometimes you do get attached. And I'm usually very good at working with these birds and saying, okay, now it's time to find them their homes. But there have been three who I became very attached to at different times and thought, could I really work my life around owning this type of bird? Because when you have a bird like that, you are adjusting your life, your entire life. And I didn't end up doing it. It wasn't the right time. But there is a network of people who are interested in that kind of animal. Thank goodness this community is so unique.
It is. And they love their animals. They really do.
And their wildlife. You're going to hear so much about wildlife. I'm anxious for you to hear about the bald eagle. You mentioned the beavers. We had quite a summer with possums. Tons of possums this year.
When it comes to hunting season, is there an influx of... I know at the SPCA, I assume in Wayne County, because they can't shoot straight. But everywhere else in the region, we have outdoorsmen that respect... They have, honor in when they hunt, and they make sure that the animals they hit, the animals that they harvest, But are there an influx of, like, wounded deer that come in?
You know, we don't deal with white-tailed deer because we are so fortunate in this community to not have to. There are so many wonderful deer rehabbers here that we don't have to do that. Mm. And when we do get one in, or when we do get the call, there, again, you mentioned that network of people, we can place one call, and we've got people here, and I'm talking 24/7.
And this is always, this is a no-kill shelter.
Animals, you know what? If we have time, that's a very difficult term because we're not a no-kill shelter and we've never promoted ourselves as no-kill. And the reason is that no-kill is a very difficult phrase. There are shelters in the country that mm-hmm. call themselves no-kill, and what that means is we will only accept adoptable animals. So we are limited admission. We will keep animals for 5 years.
So if there's an animal, though, that is sick and this animal is not going to recover,
and it's time.
Those other places, they won't even accept an animal.
There are those other places, and many of them will just turn them away.
So a no-kill shelter.
There will be an animal dying. We have heard this, and I'm not exaggerating, at different conferences that we're at in the country. There will be people walking in with animals who are dying, and they will be turned away by these animal shelters, and that's not their policy. You know, it's
no-kill means let it die somewhere else.
We will euthanize. If people say, you know what, I can't afford a veterinarian, or you're the closest to me, we will do that.
Now, here's the thing.
And we feel that's humane. You know, we're a humane society.
You're doing hospice for an animal.
Exactly.
Are you not?
Exactly.
I mean, would you make the same argument that if you truly care about something, you don't want to see it suffer. You don't want to see it hurt.
We just mentioned definition of no-kill. I can tell you 10 other definitions of that, but now you can talk about 100 definitions of the word humane. Is it humane to be a shelter that will say, you know what, we're going to take this dog in and keep it in a shelter without any kind of behavior enrichment modification for 5 years? Now can you call yourself a humane society? When this dog is pacing and deteriorating and starting to bite we don't have the resources. It's not that shelters are being cruel.
Right.
We don't have the resources to attend to that dog and provide for its needs. Can you call yourself a humane society at that point? There are so many levels, and we only have a second. I feel as though I'm doing our shelter an injustice because there isn't the time to really get into that. But, you know, it's tough, and it does come down to semantics. What are your definitions of humane society?
Well, stick around, and we'll talk about it.
What are your definitions of no-kill?
I'd love to talk about that because I think a lot of people in the audience tend to think that people that love animals are animal rights people. And there's a difference between being an animal rights person and someone who's going to, you know, send a bomb with Elf and blow up a bunch of SUVs and everything else. There are radicals in every movement, but the middle of the ground is a majority of Americans, which they don't want to see animals suffer. They don't want to see people suffer.
And at the same time, we are so, again, we're so fortunate to have a community that trusts us. You know, when I started in 1990.
I got to hold that because we got to go to a quick break.
But
when we come back, we're going to have more of Gina Browning. She's going to tell us, and we're going to talk about what it is to be a humane society and the difference between radicals and normal everyday Americans, which are all coming down here to the SPCA right now. Give them a call. Sponsored by GEICO, 873-SPCA. And give us a call at 803-0930. We're talking animals and animal rights. We come back on Bowerly and Bellevue.